B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever. Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl.
They
have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
I'll be your dragon soldier.
I think Patriots fans honestly could use some Edwin McCain today.
Right.
You're not longingly looking at Jimmy Garoppolo in the Super Bowl? Those eight passes? Woo! Completed six whole passes yesterday? I mean, tell me you can't turn on a little McCain there and light a few candles and shed a couple there, no?
I would be a little bit, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd be a little bit worried that my head coach does not believe in me. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you think?
Let's just get some
at least get me
some
to double digits
work done in some of these games.
At least get him to double digits, right, or yeah. let him throw a singular pass in a whole quarter. He didn't throw one the whole third quarter
that's
yesterday.
It's like, you know, like, yeah, I think we know what the running game can do. Let's see what the passing game can do, because you might need it against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, like we mentioned earlier, it's the, you know, after he threw that pick in the first half of the Minnesota game in the divisional round. It was like Kyle Shanahan was like, yeah, I'm good with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing downfield. Let's just hand the ball off. And so for the second half of that game and then, you know, all of yesterday's game, it was just as if he just doesn't trust Jimmy Garoppolo to make plays, you know?
Ted, he let him throw eight passes. Don't say he doesn't trust him, okay? He almost threw double-digit passes yesterday. It's not like there was a governor on or anything. He let the man sling it. That's almost two passes a quarter.
Right, right.
I mean, it averages out to two passes a quarter. A couple of quarters, he must have thrown more. He didn't throw one in the third quarter. Don't say he doesn't trust him. That's not fair.
90 minutes of real time elapsed without Jimmy Garoppolo throwing any forward
pass. It
was
like the two-minute warning of the second quarter to midway through the fourth quarter.
Crazy. Crazy. 90 minutes of real time.
How many high school games did you play in where that happened?
Never. I mean, that's crazy. No.
High school?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but not very often. Not very often. I mean, this is an NFL quarterback. You know, in the number one seed, and you are having your quarterback who gets $27 million a year to throw it eight times.
Now, in fairness, I'll play devil's advocate here because I don't necessarily believe this, but in fairness, the game certainly didn't dictate that he had to throw.
True.
That doesn't mean never throw, but the game didn't dictate that he had to throw. And we here in New England back in 2001, you were a part of it, Ted, on that defense. We sit here and defend Tom Brady even years after that, you know, 03 and 04 to an extent, especially 03. Oh, Brady's a game manager. He doesn't do anything. He's not that good. And we'd sit here and defend him and say, well, he does what needs to be done. You know, he keeps the team in the game. He doesn't turn it over. When a play needs to be made, he'll make it. And you can make that argument about Garoppolo. You just hit on my feeling, though, for the Super Bowl. Yesterday and the week before, the team, you know, they won in spite of Garoppolo, right? Especially the Vikings game. Maybe that's not as fair to say yesterday because he didn't have a bad turnover yesterday. He didn't make any mistakes. He wasn't allowed to make any mistakes. So the word that I know Gasper and Big Jim have been using is he's a sidecar, right? He's along for the ride. I don't think he can beat the Chiefs and the Niners can beat the Chiefs that way. So I do think 2 weeks from yesterday in Miami, Super Bowl 54, we will get an answer on Garoppolo. And what's beautiful for our purposes, Ted, is we can argue about it for 2 weeks. We've been arguing about it all year. But I do think in that game we'll get our answer because you can't run a million times and hand off a million times and throw it eight times or even 19 times like he did against Minnesota and beat Kansas City. I don't think. The Titans just tried. They're going to have the exact same game plan that San Francisco is going to want to use. Different style of running game, right? I mean, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan and the way he schemes it up in the running game versus Derrick Henry just mauling people and running them over. But generally, the game plan is going to be similar. And Tennessee just showed you can't do that. You can't stand back and hand off and hand off and hand off. Unless you feel, and I know you felt this to a degree, that they got away from running it too much. Maybe Vrabel should have stuck with the game plan more. You can't beat them just rearing back and running the football. And so Garoppolo is going to have to throw to beat Kansas City. He's going to have to do it. If he does it, hats off. You know, I'll be wrong about Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know there's been games here and there where he's done it, but that's a big stage. That's where he's got to do it to get a Super Bowl. Hats off to him if he does it. If not, it's going to remain an open debate about what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Is he elite? Is he very good? Is he an above-average starting quarterback? That debate's going to remain open if he can't keep up on the scoreboard throwing the football. You know, if he looks like he has the last couple of games handing off and Kansas City blows him out, that debate's right back open. If he wins, again, hats off. We'll get our answer.
Do we think that the San Francisco 49ers defense can shut down the Kansas City offense? Do you think they can keep him to 20 or less points? Because if that's the case, then you maybe can get away with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing 15, 18, 19 times in
the
game.
My answer is no, but I'm hesitant just because they've shut down some really good offenses. Man, when they've been healthy, they've pretty much done it to every offense they've faced. You know, there was a stretch. They were talking about this on the broadcast yesterday. You know, Bosa was out. Quan Alexander was out for a long time. Maybe one of their safeties, Tart, was out for a while. And their defense hit a lull. Sherman missed some time at the end of the year.
I mean, they hit a pretty good lull. It was like a 5-6 game stretch there.
But, I mean, they've proven they're the best defense in the NFL. We can talk about the stupid boogeyman all we want, but they've proven they're the best defense in the NFL.
They won close games week after week after week, even the final game of the year against Seattle on the goal line.
They won a lot of blowouts, too. That Packers game earlier in the year.
It was either a blowout or a close game. Like, and I think Jimmy Garoppolo has had good wins this year. I will say that there are some games. That pass to Emmanuel Sanders at the end of the year against the Rams, that locked up the number one seat. So he's had good throws, but to your point, this is the game that's going to decide.
Yeah.
Jared Goff last year, was that the game to decide if he was a star quarterback or not in the league?
And look what we found out.
Exactly.
Guy stinks. 617-779-0985. So your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo. We can revisit the trade coming up. Any gripes you have about that trade? I think most focus on the return, but we can get back into that because get ready for it. 2 weeks of Garoppolo talk, which is beautiful. Oh, Jones, you just want the easiest storyline for 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl? Yes. Yes, I do. I did not want to have to create something with Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans. Like, by the end of the week, we'd be like, hey, remember John Robinson? And everybody would be like, no. Oh, well, he was here. He's had a pretty good run. Hey, don't you remember Dean Pease? What a defensive coordinator. That's what we'd have to do. That would be hard work. And no, I don't want hard work for the next 2 weeks. I don't want that. You can cry all you want for me. Shed some tears. I don't want that. No, I want an easy storyline for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. And thank God we have it. You out there, when you show up to work tomorrow, you're probably not even working today. When you show up to work tomorrow, you want a hard week? You want a hard 2 weeks at work? No. No, I want an easy 2 weeks. Garoppolo's an easy 2 weeks. So thank you for finally winning a big game, Garoppolo.
It's like when they would say, don't you want to play the best to get to, you know, to get to the championship? No, I was glad that the Broncos got beat by the Jacksonville Jaguars in 96, so we had an easier path to the Super Bowl. I don't want to work any harder. I want it to be easier. So I'm and one underlying storyline, and I don't want it to get derailed because I think you were about to take off, is did you see, if you look at what the 49ers have done, you can't help but to kind of be impressed with the general manager for the 49ers.
John Lynch.
I'm telling you, he got a ton of FaceTime yesterday, and I'm just thinking, maybe Bill needs to, you know, maybe he needs to ask John, you know, maybe take some of his notes, because I just look at the talent on both sides of the ball. The Emmanuel Sanders trade, you know, just all the talent they have on
Quan Alexander trade.
Oh, my gosh. And I think now that's a general manager.
Or no, it was Alexander signing. Alexander might have been a free agent signing. But no, I mean, some of the talent that he's brought in, Sherman last offseason, he's drafted relatively
Kittle.
Well.
It was a fifth round draft pick.
Yeah.
Kittle. I mean, they have running backs. Have you even heard of, I mean, Tevin Coleman was like,
was Kittle him?
Kittle was a fifth round draft pick.
No, but was he was on Lynch's watch? I honestly don't know.
I'm almost positive he was.
Got it. He might have been. I honestly don't know the answer. Actually, I think you're right. I think he's in his third year. Yeah. So yeah.
So I just want to look about how our team has been constructed. John Lynch is a guy that's not getting a lot of talk, and he deserves a lot of credit for what he's assembled there.
Sure, yeah, I mean, he's drafted well. Patriots haven't hit on a draft pick in forever. He's drafted well, so that'll make a difference. He hasn't been perfect, but it's been good. Our buddy Raffy up in Vermont has been waiting very, very patiently. Raffy, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing there?
What's up, man?
Nah.
And I was ready to wait until the end, until tomorrow, because I got to answer you three people, because you guys really get me angry. Because the way you guys are talking about Jimmy G, let me tell you something, guys. A great philosopher, Bill Parcell, he says, you are what you are. You know what Jimmy G is? 23-5. Mm-hmm. The kid hasn't lost two games in a row since he started. And furthermore, Jimmy G, the guy you guys are talking about, last year the team was 3-1 before he got hurt. And after he got hurt, the same San Francisco team. team.
I gotta be honest. I don't think that's right. There's a lot of facts there about Jimmy Garoppolo and his record. I'm pretty sure it wasn't 3-1 when he got hurt last year, but I can fact check that. So are you what your record says you are? Bill Parcells, you're Parcells guy over there.
Yes.
Are you what your record says you are, the great philosopher Bill Parcells?
You know what? It's very difficult to say that with regards to Jimmy Garoppolo.
They were 1-2.
When you look at the fact that he's had, did you say maybe the best defense in the NFL with a running game that's one of the best running games in the NFL. So it's very difficult to kind of know exactly what Jimmy Garoppolo is. Yeah, he's a winner. I get it. His record as a starter is pretty damn impressive, but he's also had the number one defense one of the best running games in the NFL.
The great philosopher Adam Jones has a new twist on what Bill Parcells said. Okay, you are what your record says you are. You are what your pass attempts say you are. He attempted 8 passes yesterday. Okay, that's also a fact beyond his record. 8. They didn't trust him to throw for a whole quarter in a real NFL game. You are what your pass attempts say you are. 617-779-0985. Let's revisit the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. What grinds your gears, huh? Not to Murray's musings, this thing. What bothers you the most about that trade all these years later? We'll get to it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Starting back with the ACL and everything, since then it's been crazy. It's been a crazy whirlwind of a ride, and no one else I'd rather be in a dogfight with than those guys in that locker room. It's a great group to be with. Everyone's pulling together. Everyone's tight with one another, and it's just a great group, man. It really is.
That is James Garoppolo, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, now heading to the Super Bowl. For what is it, Joe? You've been saying this. The third time in his career he's going to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
First time, as a real life quarterback.
Yep, and then he got the shares with the Eagles.
I mean, barely. 8 attempts.
Yeah.
Barely a quarterback. Eagles,
that's Super a good boy. Bowl. That's a good point. Actually, now that I say that out loud, that is silly. That's true. He's barely even a quarterback going to the Super Bowl.
He got a ring and then got part of the shares when they traded him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this will be his third.
No, this will be his fourth, then, is what you're telling me. 14, 16, and he got a AFC championship ring for 2017?
Yeah, I'm going to double check on it, but I think you're right.
Well, I bet Brady voted against it, but I don't know how everybody else voted.
Do you think he has his AFC championship ring from 2017?
I don't know.
That would be. I don't know why.
How quick? If I were him, I'd put that thing on eBay so quick.
I have no idea where
I'd quit
AFC
that
championship
thing.
Ring is.
Cuban that.
Wow. No clue where that thing is.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. Yeah. Plus a whole nother. I don't know if he should get credit for that other appearance. But neither here nor there. I'm now bogged down on all the wrong details. I'll get to your phone calls in a moment. 617-779-0985. I asked earlier, what still bothers you about the Jimmy Garoppolo trade? Because there's a lot of layers to it. There's the trade itself. There's the timing of the trade, which I know irks you, Ted. There's, of course, the return, which I think anybody who argues with the return just shows how much of a card-carrying sheep you are of a Patriots fan just to defend the return for Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, to me, that's a joke. So I think that goes without saying to gripe about the return, but I know the timing irks you.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was absolutely... It was one of those stories. I mean, I was down in Houston doing work, and we were talking about this storyline, and fascinated by how is Jimmy Garoppolo still on this team? Week one of the 2017 season, he doesn't have a contract at the end of the year. Like, and Tom Brady's your quarterback. What is going on up there? Like, I just couldn't believe Bill Belichick did not trade Jimmy away in the offseason. And there was a market, Adam and Joe, people were talking about potentially 2 first-rounders. Bill loved him. And, and I think that drove up maybe the kind of the hype train a little bit, too, is that Bill Belichick really loves this guy. Okay, well then we got to get this guy. I mean, there was talk of maybe getting 2 first round draft picks. You at least would have gotten a first round or maybe even a mid round draft pick, I think, if you were to have dealt him in the offseason in 2017. But Bill did not do that. He's keeping Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster week one, and I could not believe it. And so I just find it hard to believe, you know, I mean, you could have seen that coming a mile away. You were going to have to have, I mean, the last possible chance to get something for him, obviously, was the trade deadline 2017.
Well, that's not true. They could have franchised him and then traded him.
That's right.
Okay.
What about a cap issue? But still.
Right. I mean, so just to say the last possible chance, I would gripe with that. Maybe it wasn't easy, but there was another chance to do it.
That's a fair point. But it just seemed like you waited too long to really get back what you really could have. And so to me, they screwed that whole thing up. I just don't understand why you would keep him on the roster when you have Tom, you know, playing as well as he was. And got us only a second round draft pick. You could have gotten maybe two first at least by trading him in that offseason.
What bothers you, Shaggy? I mean, Joe, what bothers you?
Really, the only thing about it for me is just nothing really bothered me. Of course, the return is bad, but for me, I think the positive in it is that Bill Belichick can identify quarterbacks. He can do it. It's something he has now done. Now, Kevin O'Connell probably doesn't work out, right?
Can he, though? Can he?
Yeah. Why not? How do we know that? Guys that can play in the league. Jacoby Brissett played a whole season. Wasn't great.
Yeah, he kind of stunk.
But he can play.
That take looked better midway through the year.
I don't know how good Jacoby Brissett is, okay. Man.
He can play, though. And Garoppolo, so far, can start in this league. These guys can win games on teams with talent. They can. The Colts, would you say they have talent? A little bit. But, you know, that was an Andrew Luck-based team. Brissett came in. All I'm saying is,
wasn't Brissett like a big Parcells guy? Parcells was big on him.
Oh yeah, and then they all went to NC State, which is quarterback.
And Tom, I mean, Brady was not a Belichick guy. That was not because of Bill.
I'll
Belichick.
Just ask you this: has Bill Belichick done anything where you don't think he can pick the next guy? Has he?
How about this? There was a caller on the line. He dropped, but there was a caller on the line earlier who said, "Yeah, I think that he passed on Lamar Jackson."
Well, was that? Well, that was him. He went. What was the need at the time, though? The need was offensive line.
Well, sure, but there's a big picture need.
How did Lamar Jackson look last week? I mean, it's easy to say that, but how did he look?
I don't know.
We could say the same thing about Jimmy Garoppolo if he loses in 2 weeks.
He had 500 total yards. I mean, Lamar Jackson was not great, but the guy can obviously play. He's going to be the MVP of the league. He's going to be the MVP of the league. So, I mean, I think that's a fair criticism to wonder how Bill missed on that. I had no... look, I said this earlier, and we can get to your phone calls in a moment. 617-779-0985. What still bothers you, if anything? And I'm sure we'll hear from the sheep, too. But what bothers you, if anything, about the Garoppolo trade? Because get ready to hear that for 2 weeks. We might as well talk about it now. I for years have wanted the Patriots to do exactly what they did with Brady. I don't mind that they traded Garoppolo. I agree with you, Ted. The timing was a little weird. They should have done it at the beginning of 2017, or they should have franchised him. And I understand there were some cap gymnastics they would have had to leap through, but franchised and traded him. I didn't like trading him at the deadline. I thought that was silly because if you wanted the safety net and the protection, you should have seen that through to the most key part of the year. Right? So that bothered me. The return obviously bothered me. They didn't get enough. Anytime you can get more, you should get more. Was Mohamed Sanu worth the second round pick? No. But the Falcons ran and made sure they did that deal with the Patriots when they got a second round pick instead of a mid rounder or a couple of mid rounders or whatever. So if you can get more, you should get more. You don't give it to your buddy's kid just to put him in a better position to make you look better. That's not what does the best for the team. You're not looking out for what's best for the team in that scenario. So obviously those things. But I was okay with trading Garoppolo. I was always okay with trading Garoppolo. I wanted them to use draft picks to surround Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can debate how well those draft picks hit, but Brady won a Super Bowl. He got to an additional Super Bowl. He won an MVP. Now that Brady's done, you got to find the next guy. Is that Stidham? Is that someone in the draft? I don't know, but the trick is not finding the next Tom Brady. You're not going to find the next Tom Brady. The trick is finding the next Jimmy Garoppolo or someone better than Jimmy Garoppolo, which I got to be honest, I don't think is that hard.
Let me ask you this. What do you think was the reason Bill did not trade Jimmy Garoppolo before the start of the 2017 season?
I think he...
What do you think he was thinking?
I think he was getting a clear indication from Robert Kraft what they were going to have to do long term. I think he already knew, but Bill thought he could finagle it by waiting it out.
No, Brady was challenged in camp. That's what it was. Brady was absolutely challenged that year.
It was about...
That was like a thing.
Brady, I think. Yeah.
It was all they wanted.
He's about lighting a fire under
year.
Tom.
I remember that during the off season.
I mean, I guess he won the Super Bowl the year before, so I mean, he was pretty good.
Did he miss OTAs again though?
I'm sure.
No.
Not that year, right?
Not that year.
Yeah.
No, it was after 2017. Okay. That off season.
So you think it was brought in to challenge him?
I just think it's just to light a fire under Tom's
maybe.
Ass.
Sure, maybe.
You know, I think that's. I think that's maybe what it was.
Just one more thing about
Garoppolo. He won a Super Bowl without Garoppolo, the second Garoppolo left. So I don't know how much he needed the motivation, sure.
It's a win-win for both. It was really a win for Jimmy. But Garoppolo was hurt. Remember, he got hurt by Kiko Alonso in that Miami game?
Yeah.
Like, he was a fragile guy. They could have waited. I wanted to see a bidding war. But I wonder if there was something there about Garoppolo's health and would teams give up a first-round pick for a guy with that health.
I just think in that offseason, Bill thought, yeah, Robert's telling me this or Robert's suggesting that. Brady's running up the back stairs and talking to Robert. I just think Bill figured, I'll be able to see this through and I'll be able to get to the franchise tag and then we'll see how Brady's playing. I think that's what Bill believed. And it became more clear at the trade deadline, that's not going to happen, so Bill traded him. That's what I think. And maybe you know, motivating Brady was a byproduct of that too. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Dave and Lynn. Go ahead, Dave.
A possibility of the New York Giants being a new location for Tom Brady, and there's five reasons. Number one, the recent coaching change with the unusual pick from the Patriots. Number two, the mentoring and /.
Okay, so let me jump in. He's got 5 points. I don't want to hear them all. Do you think Tom Brady's going to coach the Giants? Play for the Giants? Do you think the Giants are a suitor? Let me rephrase.
I think there is Gettleman still the general manager?
Yes.
No. Then they're not.
There's no way.
No.
Unless they blow out Dave Gettleman.
But I do like the idea of him going to the Giants. If Dave Gettleman is the general manager, Gettleman fell in love.
If New York.
With Daniel Jones, right?
If New York hadn't drafted, meaning both teams, a quarterback in the top six, I guess. Daniel Jones was sixth overall last year. And Sam Darnold was three, I think, the year before. If both teams hadn't done that, there'd be an obvious team where we're all looking at it going, holy crap, Brady's leaving. I'm not sure there's an obvious team now. I think there's a lot of teams that make sense. I'm not sure there's an obvious team. I rule out both New York teams out of hand, which does complicate things because apparently, whether it's in Greenwich or whether it's, you know, the other apartment they've had for a long time in New York or whatever other prospective real estate they're looking at, because apparently there is no home in Greenwich, Connecticut, according to Tom Curran. New York and the real estate there, I'm still trying to work out, like how the family would live there, but Brady would go play in Tennessee or L.A. or Vegas or wherever. I understand he could do it. I understand he's rich. Maybe the teams would let him not show up until Wednesday or something like that. I don't know. But that still seems like a weird piece to this.
See, I can't imagine them making kind of take maybe when it comes to Tom and if they were to say make different rules for Tom versus the other guys when it's a complicated system, when it's, you know, it's all about
Tom gets on Skype every Monday and conference calls in. It's 2020. People work from home. Brady a WeWork. Brady a little WeWork stand. He can go talk.
You're going to bring a guy
via telelink.
Right. You're going to bring a guy in who's obviously 43 years old, who's advanced system, and go, all right, just show up for mini camp, training camp, and then you don't have to show up until Wednesday during the season. You can't pay a guy $30 million a year and then have those set of rules for him. You just can't. Tom's got to be there the entire time, I would think. And so I don't see him, just like you're saying, a situation in which he's, you know, like the Roman Pfeiffer situation they had, you know, at the end of my career, where he would go to L.A. and then come back on Wednesdays and not have to be there Mondays and Tuesdays. You can't do that with a quarterback.
Yeah, it's different with a quarterback.
Totally, totally, totally different. You know?
Well, that's a functional organization we're talking about now, though. I don't know. The Chargers may be desperate enough to do it. The Raiders may be desperate enough to do it. I will get back to Tom Brady and his meeting with Mark Davis over the weekend, 617-779-0985. I also want to get to the Chiefs, their win, and what it means for the AFC, what it means for the Patriots, right after the headlines here from Joe Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Tub. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever! Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy. Kansas City is the AFC champion! They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl
I'll tell you what, it's been 7 years coming, baby. I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party!
That's it from here. The Chiefs are the AFC champions.
Ah, that is Scott Zolak's favorite tight end, Travis Kelce, after the game. My favorite part is Jim Nantz. He's like, I don't know what to do with this one. Back to you. Okay.
He's so straight-laced, isn't he? Oh, Jimmy. Big fan of Jim Nantz now. Don't be talking smack on Jim Nantz.
Yeah, he lives down there, yeah?
Houston guy.
Is he a Cougar?
He's a Cougar.
He's
a U of H Cougar.
Our old friend Tripp.
And I didn't mean his looks, but I mean that too. But I meant, you know, he went to University of Houston, right?
We've had him on the station. Our old friend Tripp was the guy who got him a job.
I'm telling you, he's got...
True story?
Really?
Yeah.
He's got new life with Tony. I mean, he is just
Tony's
like
out, by the way. Tony's going to Monday Night Football.
He's not.
Dude, you just see the offer that they gave him? It's like big money.
I don't know if it's an official offer, but he could get more than John Madden made, which is like, $14 million a year.
He's not leaving his boy.
I know you guys were talking about this earlier, but he was kind of vomit-inducing listening to Romo.
Romo stinks. I don't like Romo. Ugh. Yes, stinks. Yep.
He's better than Kelce, but...
I really have taken to his style.
Wait, he's better than Witten, you mean?
Witten.
Oh, no, I mean... What Travis Kelce did yesterday, I thought was like, I was.
Oh, you think Kelce's vomit inducing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying Romo's vomit inducing.
And I think Witten even said, I saw a report on the Big Lead saying he wasn't going to come back.
Do you think it's too much? Do you think Romo's too much?
He won't shut up.
He just won't shut up.
What, that play yesterday, what was it? Oh, my God. Where he was like, is it on the defense? Is it on the offense? What do you think? Is it on the defense? Is it on the offense? It's like, well, it's obviously on the defense. They threw the flag. It's on the defense. Yeah, I get that you think Sammy Watkins pushed up. And he like talked to himself about it for like 5 minutes.
He did.
He just won't shut up.
The
analysis is not bad. Yeah. I mean, it's probably really good. You actually know what he's talking about. I just kind of pretend to know what he's talking about. But yeah, he just talks too much. Shut up.
When you've had Phil Sims and it's just it's generic and cliche, and you know, where Tony actually, you learn something. I mean, I learned something when I listened to Tony Romo. That's what I think I like about it the most but he can talk over your heads too. If you don't know scheme in football and the vernacular, it can be a little bit over your head.
Yeah.
But for
he's funny too, isn't he? Those jokes he does always land.
It's
guy's got a good sense of humor.
Cute and corny, kind of.
He thinks he has a good sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, him and Jim have a little, you know, they get a little going.
They're like golf buddies or something. Like they.
I think they bond over golf. Yeah.
I think that's what initially was the foundation for their relationship. Yes, was their
not for nothing. That's why Romo's going to stay. Romo's going to get like some. He's going to get something with CBS where they're going to. Well, no, but they're going to let him do like golf coverage or something.
Who's
like
more likely to leave, Romo or Brady?
No, definitely Brady.
Brady.
Well,
they did. They let
like
Romo.
Definitely Brady. Say it again.
They let Romo go play in a tournament earlier in the year.
No. I mean, they might let him be part of their coverage, but yeah, they might let him play and do stuff like that. Too. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Oh, yeah. We pay you to work 17 whole weeks a year or whatever. You know, plus the playoffs, I guess. 20 weeks a year, or whatever. We pay you for 20 whole weeks a year. Sure, take one off and go golfing, Tony. That's great. 617-779-0985. So the Chiefs win again. Travis Kelce is fighting for his right to party. Now it could turn the AFC. So who are you pulling for in the Super Bowl, Patriots fans? Jimmy Garoppolo, the man they let get away. Or maybe the next big thing in the conference. Again, 617-779-0985. Carmine is in Abington. Go ahead, Carmine.
Yes. Just a quick question. You can fact check me on this, but I think Brady has beaten every NFL team except the Patriots. Do you think that's ringing in his ear as he thinks about whether or not he's going to continue?
He wants to check that off. You think that's what it is?
That's the top of the list. I'm thinking quality of coach, salary, and the fact that he hasn't been the Patriots has got to be up there. Top three.
I think he goes and plays 1 year for another team, makes sure the Patriots are on the schedule, beats them. Then he goes to the CFL and wipes all them out. Calgary Stampeders, done. Argos, done.
Got them.
Alouettes, gotcha.
Don't forget, there's a new league coming starting up, too.
XFL. Well, yeah, he can work his way to that. Right. He can work his way to that. I say wipe out the CFL first.
I believe he has beaten 31 of 32 NFL teams.
I mean, I don't even need to... Of course he has.
You know, it's funny, but there was a...
Right? I can't imagine. Who hasn't he beat? Yeah, he's beaten everybody.
There was a report out there that he, a few weeks ago, I love all these reports, that he did not want to go to a team that was going to be facing the Patriots. So if you look at what's the Patriots' schedule next year...
Oh, he's afraid of the Patriots.
He's afraid of the Patriots.
I don't like that.
I think Tom Curran put that out in an article a few weeks ago. where there's hesitation on his part to go to a team that has the Patriots scheduled in the next year.
Well, I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
Come on. That would be, come on, Tom. Really? No. I mean, but do you
well, that means, doesn't that almost mean he has to go to an NFC team to control that 2 years from now? You have to go to an NFC team.
Yes.
Because that's the only way you'd know.
Right.
Because you don't know where the Patriots are going to finish in their division. And yeah, right. If you go to the Chargers, you might wind up playing them in 2 years.
Yes. I think they play them next year.
I don't like that. I thought part of the reason that I like the idea of Brady leaving is that okay. competition of Brady and Bill, I want to do it without Bill, and Bill wants to do it without Tom. But
what you know
if you're afraid to play him, that doesn't really work.
What you know about Tom? Do you think
lots?
What you know about
everything?
Tom? Do you see him as a guy that would want to go to the division and maybe play within a division or play, you know, have the chance to stick it to the Patriots as much as he could?
How Drew Bledsoe feel when he was?
Well, he didn't have a chance, right? He got traded.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like he wants to anger Patriots fans. I'd agree with that.
It's competitive as he is. I don't think it's in his DNA to have that piece of him, of that piece to him where he's like, I want to stick it to the page. I want to play him every chance I get. I want to really, like Brett Favre had that, mm-hmm. right? Brett Favre had that. As competitive as Tom is, I think that's a piece he wants nothing to do
with. That's a shame. That's a shame.
I agree. I don't see him as a guy that's like, I want to, you know what? The Patriots didn't want to sign me to a multi-year deal. All right, I want to play them as many
Richard Sherman. Like, Seattle wants to release me. I'm going to sign in the division. I'm going to go to the Niners.
I don't see that. That's not Tom's nature. It's just not his nature. And it might sound incongruent. Like, well, wait a minute. He's competitive and fiery, and he's determined as he is. He doesn't want to. Yeah, he doesn't. He's not a guy that likes to create. I don't think he likes that tension.
I halfway get the division. I still don't love that, but I at least understand the division. Not wanting to play a team that's on the schedule or go with a team that's on the schedule for the next year or two? Mm-hmm. Yikes. 617-779-0985. Speaking of Richard Sherman, we have some thoughts on how he's been utilized in his career. I know Darrell Revis has some thoughts on that as well. We'll get to that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Rodgers back. Pass rush holds. He's going to throw a bomb down the field for Devontae Adams in a double coverage. It is intercepted by Richard Sherman, who will go down. And the 49ers are going to win the game and win the NFC Championship game and go to the Super Bowl.
I think they were trying to pump themselves up. They were trying to hype themselves up, you know, throughout there talking about a revenge game. Like they weren't coming in with an advantage into that game. You know, we were coming off of a battle with Seattle, and they were coming off a bye. And so saying payback and saying, you know, when you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So it's not they're trying to hype themselves up like, man, we're going to be ready this time. You weren't ready the first time, and that was in front of the whole country.
Love Richard Sherman going right at the Packers. And he wasn't the only one going right at people. As we come up on 1 o'clock here, Zoe and Beadle, Adam Jones, and Ted Johnson in for the guys. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-0985. Darrell Revis went right at Richard Sherman, Ted. And I think this is a fair criticism, by the way. And Sherman's excellent. No one's saying Sherman sucks.
So good.
Or at least I'm not saying he sucks. But there is an aspect to Richard Sherman's game that would bother me, right? If you're trying to make a claim that he's the greatest of all time or amongst the greatest of all time, why doesn't he follow around top receivers? And Darrell Revis tweeted this out yesterday, at Revis24. Fear of getting beaten man-to-man coverage every snap, every play. The fact that he doesn't travel as a cornerback is lame, which I think is a good word for it. It doesn't mean he sucks. It doesn't mean he can't play. It's just a little lame that Sherman doesn't do it. Accept the challenge as the best and shut down Devontae Adams the entire game. Do it for the game of football. Stop hiding into cover three. And he followed up, everybody who thinks I'm throwing shade, I'm not. I'm just stating the man is a pound-for-pound, is not a pound-for-pound man-to-man corner. If you know the game of football, he plays into cover three. He does not travel, but traveling with a receiver is not for every DB. It's few on the corner list who can. So, I don't know, how do you feel about that, Ted? The criticism that Richard Sherman sits in a cover three, plays on the defense's left, the offense's right, doesn't move around. How do you feel about that as a criticism of Sherman?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I don't, maybe it's not his fault. I mean, it's the system and it's the scheme, but maybe part of the system and the scheme is, you know, basically designed because they feel like there's maybe limitations in what Richard Sherman's man-to-man capabilities are. So, yeah, you know, it's hard to kind of, you know, maybe totally, you know, fault him for that because he's the scheme that he's in and the system he's in. He's very, very good.
Yep.
He's absolutely very, very good. They don't ask him to cover the number one receiver and cover him all over the field like Stephon Gilmore does, like Darrelle Revis does. And so you're not going to maybe get the respect from a guy like a Darrelle Revis or some of the top cover guys when you are more of a zone type of cornerback. So I think it's fair to some degree, but it's also not fair. I'm kind of straddling the fence a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit right there. Right down the middle, pretty much. But it's just not his thing. And so I think to be considered maybe one of the elite cornerbacks, you're a guy, it's like Stephon Gilmore, who is a guy who just follows around the number one guy all the time and does a great job of shutting him down. I think he's one of the best corners to ever play the game. I really do. Even though he played a lot of, you know, cover three in Seattle and they brought that over to San Francisco. I still think he's damn good at what he does. You know, I mean, you can still beat guys playing cover three. So I think it's maybe.
Right. To your point, he's going to his third and he might be winning his second. So, yep. I mean, obviously he's doing something right. I think he's great. He's amongst the greatest of all time. But what hurts him in that debate, he doesn't follow around top receivers. But I don't think that's the lamest thing that happened yesterday. I keep wanting to say Stephon Gilmore, Richard Sherman, rather, mm-hmm. not moving around on these wide receivers. The lamest thing is that Aaron Rodgers won't test him. Aaron Rodgers won't throw at him. He threw at him one time late in the game, and he hit a big play to Davante Adams. And I am reminded, I said this earlier, of a game, I think it was the opener, the NFL kickoff game on a Thursday night, the year after the Seahawks won, before the Malcolm Butler game, the opener that year, after the Seahawks beat the Broncos, they opened on Thursday Night Football, the NFL kickoff game, against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and he was still a Seahawk. And Rodgers wouldn't throw to that side of the field. How do you not look that way as an NFL quarterback? How do you not look that way? How do you continue to just throw left and over the middle and check down to the running back, but never test him? You, supposedly, are one of the greatest of all time. Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in the NFL. So Sherman's great. Throw at him. Test him a couple of times. When you did late in the game, you made a huge play. You made a massive play. So I think the lamest thing is that Rodgers is apparently shaking in his boots anytime he goes against Richard Sherman. He won't throw at him. He won't try him. And Joe, I know you want to jump in on Rodgers too. You have a larger criticism.
Yeah, I just overall, like, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He's a great quarterback. Will make the Hall of Fame, et cetera, et cetera. But his history... If you go back to it, in 09, they lost 51-45 to Arizona. Maybe you can blame the defense if you want. 2011, Green Bay was 15-1, went one and done.
That one's on him. The Cardinals one's hard to pin on him, that one.
2012, Colin Kaepernick had that great game, 400 yards or whatever. 2014, the defense played well. He had a collapse when they lost 28-22 to Seattle. In 2015, they went into overtime. They lost on that Larry Fitzgerald catch, if you think about it. 2016, NFC Championship game. We remember the... they lost to the Falcons, 44-21. That didn't work out. But the more you look at it here, like, the defense has clearly been the issue when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. When you look at all the 8 playoff losses, they've given up over 30 points a game. Their defense, like, at some point, do you say, oh, poor Aaron Rodgers? No.
No, you have to go score.
Like we crap on Peyton Manning, right, for how many times he's been one and done. Like, this guy's one of the highest paid, like, in the league. And I know we've been talking about the Garoppolo-Brady angle.
I mean...
Like, the Packers did that. They moved on from Favre. They went with Rodgers. They've won one.
They've only been to one.
They've only been to one since 2006.
Is that a success? Like, the Patriots have won one since they've... Or been to two and been to one.
If you get to one and win it in a decade after Brady, is that a success? Well, more than a decade now, right? But... Or when did Favre actually leave? It's been a decade plus.
He's been a starter since 2006.
Yeah, I have to. Really? I thought he was drafted then. Okay, so whatever. Regardless, is that a success? I think it is. If the Patriots win another one after Tom Brady, I'm going to consider that a success. So I'm not calling Rodgers a failure, but I would call him overrated.
I put it more on the coach.
It's two coaches now.
Yeah, but I mean, but I just say for the most part, I mean, it's been more about his defenses and I think coaching than it has been about Aaron Rodgers.
What about yesterday? Let's focus on yesterday as opposed to the whole time.
He couldn't do anything in the first half. Anything.
No, except turn it over.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He did have. That's on him.
It's 100% on him. I think yesterday's on him. I mean, their defense wasn't good either, but like you didn't give him a chance. You're giving him short fields with the pick. The fumble, you had a great drive going. You fumbled. That killed you. Whose fault was the fumbled snap?
That's him.
Of course that's him.
That's him. There's such a, and you can sit there, you can look at the.
By the way, who made this point too?
His final stat line's impressive, 31
and 39. But he wasn't anyway, like less than 100. You had a Jimmy Garoppolo passing line in the first half. He didn't even crack 100 yards in the first half.
The game was over in the first half.
Somebody had this tweet. Was it Danny Cannell had a tweet where Rodgers is getting no heat for not pouncing on that fumbled snap like Cam Newton in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we killed.
It wasn't exactly
the
same.
We destroyed Cam Newton for that. Rodgers didn't even move. He just stood there all mopey.
Nope.
They just stood there all mopey and looked at it like, somebody get it.
But that's Aaron Rodgers.
Somebody dive on it. I'm not going to do it.
That's how he is, though. I mean, there's just...
There goes the football.
I've always said he's very lazy about ball security. I've always, even though he doesn't throw a ton of interceptions, but as far as just kind of how he holds the ball, his attitude in the pocket. You know what? And he was missing a lot of just blitzes. Like, he was...
Yeah.
I mean, he was really...
He kind of just goes back and slings it. Like, it's not like a...
That's definitely what he does.
Like, he's not really, like, looking... You know, or he just chucks it down the field to Adams. But, I don't know, the more I... Like, I'm trying to compare him to somebody else. Like, I know Marino went to one in his first year and never... But, like, is there another star quarterback? This guy's one of the highest paid in the league. Gets all the hype. State Farm commercials. You name it. Like, he stinks! He can't win big games. He's done it once in his career, and I don't even know if he can do it again.
Does he stink?
No. He's
okay. Well, so that was what you just said. I'm giving you the chance to correct that. He stinks.
Softest 13-win team in the history of the NFL.
I think they were. I think Skip called them frauds. They were.
But who else can you compare? Like, is there another quarterback like that has won one?
Yeah, I think he's Peyton Manning-esque. You know, he doesn't have so the difference is he's won a lot of big games. You know, like he's won a lot of playoff games that were him. You know, that Hail Mary game against Arizona when they came back against Dallas. Is that the one?
Yep.
Hit like the giant pass down the sideline to Jared Cook.
Oh, yep. God.
So he's got some really good wins on his resume, too. But I would liken Rodgers to Peyton Manning in this regard, where he hasn't won enough.
Manning's been
for how talented. For how talented he is, he hasn't won enough. And right, Manning went to a lot more, and Manning won more.
And the coaching might have been an issue in one of those with the Saints onside kick.
But again, that would be my criticism with Rodgers. Yeah, he won. He's in the club. You won your Super Bowl. Did you win enough? And that's always been my criticism with Peyton.
The fact that Aaron Rodgers played in the NFC, so it's not like he's competing against Tom to compete for a chance to play in the Super Bowl.
Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.